Welcome to the Real Estate Investing Club. This is the place everyday real estate investors gather to share their best stories, biggest insights, and favorite tactics to grow a portfolio of cash flowing properties in today's market. Here's your host, Gabe Peterson.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Investing Club. Today we have Henry Washington with us. Henry has 65 units and he built that within 3.5 years, which I love to see a quick turnaround. So this is for all you investors out there who think that your goal is so far away. Henry's proven that that's not the case. So Henry, thank you very much for hopping on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I guess the things change fast. So we're at about 80 doors now.
There you go. Between the time that you filled this out and you got on the show.
Got another 40 under contract right now.
Damn, man. I love it. All right. Well, hey, before we hopped on the show, I told you we like to start with stories here at the Real Estate Investing Club. So why don't you take us back to the beginning 3.5 years ago? How'd you get started in real estate?
Yeah. Oh, man. So the superhero origin story. Let's see. My story's, I don't know, man. It's kind of one that's fairly normal from the perspective of, like, I was a corporate guy. So I live out in Northwest Arkansas. Walmart is headquartered here. And so I worked for Walmart. I did software development and data analytics for multiple departments within Walmart for about 10 years.
That would actually be, I mean, I don't want to jump into your story here, but I feel like that would be super interesting to do the analytics for Walmart.
Yes. I mean, I could spend a whole show talking about, like, all the crazy stuff that they look into from a data perspective to make decisions. It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool stuff. So yeah, I did that. And, you know, I felt like my path was like the path of, you know, the white picket fence, American dream path, right? Like, I went to college, I got good grades, got a technical degree so that I could make money right out of the gate. I got a great job making great money. I was a six-figure earner and I was single. And I still found myself with no money every 2 weeks.
I've been there, man.
No financial education, no motivation to really save or invest, because I didn't have that financial education. And, like, you know, like, in the grand scheme of, like, the information age, podcasts and, like, this new wave of education and educators on social media, it's fairly new, right? And so it wasn't like all that information was being freely put out there like it is now, or at the scale that it is now. And so I just didn't know any better. And I was okay spending more than I made and then trying to figure out how to make ends meet until I got paid again as a single man. Life happens, and I got married, and I got married pretty quick. So I married my wife. I met my wife, and then 365 days later, we got married.
So damn, quick turnaround in real estate.
You know, you know, buddy. And so what happened was I realized that my wife was not okay with spending everything that we made before we got paid again. And then just as I continued down the path of the American dream, right, we decided to try to buy a home together. And to make a really long story short, the bank called me and said, you're going to ruin this for your wife. We can loan to her. We can't loan to you. Oh, so if you want her to be a homeowner,
gut.
Right. It's exactly what I tell people. I was like, it was a big gut shot. I made double what she made. You know, I did all the things I thought I was supposed to do in life and then I couldn't be a provider. Right. And so, we did end up buying the house. I say we with air quotes, because she bought the house and let me live in it. And then not long after that, her and I were having a conversation, you know, laying in bed at night, doing what normal married couples do, talking about your future and your, you know, where you're going to live, your dream house and how many kids you're going to have, and, you know, the fun life conversations, the conversations that are supposed to be enjoyable. And I just remember as we were talking through all these things we wanted in our life, like I was panicking the whole time because I was like, I couldn't even afford to be in the house we were in. Yeah. And so I went to bed and then woke up at 3 a.m. and I had a panic attack. You know, all the things that come with a panic attack. And I didn't know what to do. And so I just started Googling, how can I make some extra money? Because I just thought, if I can make some more money, then I could figure out a way to provide her with the life that she deserves, because she's going to quickly realize that I can't get her there, and then she'll leave me, and, you know, right, all the panicky thoughts, right?
Yep.
Looking back now, I realize that that wasn't going to be the case, but, you know, panic attacks.
Yeah, but when you're in the situation, right, your brain, it's just, it can't really cope. It's like, no, this is this is what's going to happen, and
we tell our 3-year-old all the time, like, hey, your brain's playing tricks on you. That was what was happening to me. Yeah. And so, what I found is I started Googling how to make extra money. And then I started learning all these phrases like cash flow and passive income and appreciation. And I had never paid attention to these words before. They weren't important to me. But what I saw was the common denominator among all these money words was owning real estate. Like, that's what everybody was talking about in these articles I was reading. And then I saw a video. It was a TED Talk, and it was a kid. I think his first name was Alex, if anybody wants to watch it. But it was called How to Design Your Dream Life Through Passive Income. And, you know, when you're panicking about money at 3 a.m, that seems like a pretty, pretty reasonable video to click on.
Show me the way, Alex.
Right. And and he's just a guy, man. He's just a kid. He was 20-something years old. He had 20-something single-family homes, and he was talking about how he was financially free and how to build financial freedom. And he did it through real estate. And I was just like, well, this can't be that hard then. Like, I didn't know regular people owned real estate.
If Alex can do it, yeah.
Right. Exactly. Seriously. Like, I thought corporations owned real estate. I thought, like, billionaires owned real estate. I never thought, like, just regular people
yeah,
that you see on the street own all this real estate. And so I was like, well, if these guys can figure it out, I'm a pretty smart guy. Like, I'm no genius, but, you know, average intelligence, I can figure this out, right? So I just made a decision at 3 a.m. that I was going to learn how to be a successful real estate investor, and I was going to dig myself out of this hole. And which all sounds awesome to say, but, like, the reality was I still had a subpar credit score, and I only had $1,000 in my savings account. I still didn't have any money, right?
It's the decision. Once you make that decision, yes, Things really do start to line up. But you have to make it at your very core. You have to believe that you're going to get out of here and this is the way you're going to do it.
That is,
and you
100%.
Got it. For me, I don't know about you, but I kind of went the same route. But it was seeing people like Alex, you know, seeing people that were just like me, escaping the race, that really gave me motivation that, yeah, I can do this. If they can do this, I can do this.
Right. Exactly. 100%. You know, that's essentially what I tell people is like, that decision is what got me to where I am today. And yes, there was a lot of, like, practical application that happened between that decision and where I am now. But without that decision, I don't have the wherewithal to take any of those steps, because no one gets to know 100% what the path is. Like, we don't get to know, these are all the exact steps that I need to make, and if I do these all just like this, all these things will happen, and then I will be financially free. Like, you can have a plan or a guide, but you don't get to know everything. You have to step out on faith. You have to believe. You have to tell your brain you're going to be successful, and your brain will help you figure out the how.
Yeah. You get to know the next step. That's all you get
right.
to know.
That's,
and after
sometimes,
that.
Sometimes. Sometimes. Yeah, exactly. And so, that decision, right, it was what got me there. So 90 days after that, I bought my first house. And so it wasn't too long of a turnaround.
And did you buy that? I mean, you didn't have any cash. So was this seller financed? Did you get a bank loan? How'd you close on that one?
Yeah, that's a phenomenal question. So part two of the origin story goes like this. I decided The next step was, I don't know how to do any of this, but somebody does. And so I literally Googled like real estate investors in Northwest Arkansas. And I found what was called a RIA. I didn't know what RIAs were. Yeah. Like, I knew nothing. And so I just was like, all right, there's people around here doing it. If I surround myself with those people, I'll learn something. And then maybe I can figure this stuff out. And so I was intentional about going to every single meeting. I don't care if it was a 30-minute meeting, 2-hour meeting. If I went to a meeting 2 days before, I was going again. Like, if there were investors in a room, I wanted to be in that room so that I could learn and so that like people would associate me with an investor, because that brings opportunity. So I surrounded myself, and then I started telling everybody I was an investor. Even though I had never bought a property, I didn't even know how to buy a property, but I was just telling people that that's what I was. Like, that's how I introduced myself when I met new people. Hi, I'm Henry. I'm a real estate investor, and I do data analytics for Walmart, right? Like, and that just comes from me. Like, I just am a believer in life. We get what we give, right?
Yeah. You got to have the identity before you can actually see the results.
Right. And so I just wanted to put out there that that's what I was, so that I could get back what that type of person would get. Again, like, I didn't understand how powerful any of this stuff was when I was doing it. This was my way of like rationalizing how to become a real estate investor. So that's how I got my first deal. A buddy of mine heard that I had started buying houses, even though I hadn't bought one, and was in a really, really tough spot with a house he owned, and called me and said, hey, I got to sell this house. I got to sell it in 30 days, and I need to get XYZ amount of money out of it. So that means I got to sell it for this price, which was like 115. It was worth like 150, 160, something like that. And I was like, well, yeah, I'll buy it. And I didn't know how. But I told him I would, right? Again, that's that decision. Like, that's where that comes into play. I think a lot of people just say they'll try something out, and then when an opportunity knocks, they can't figure out how, and they didn't tell their brain to help them figure out how. So they just go, well, I don't have the money. I'd like to buy it, but I don't know. I don't have what it takes to buy it. I just said, I'll figure it out, right? Yep. Like, yes, I'm going to buy it. This is the opportunity I've been looking for. I'll figure it out. And so I literally had to Google how to buy a house without a real estate agent. I had to find a contract online and change some verbiage and sign some random. Don't do that. But like
it's good to actually bring a lawyer into the process. Right, but right. Hey, man, like, if you're just starting like, out, sometimes you do what you got to do.
Right, like, I wasn't going to be stopped. Right. And so when I had to figure out, okay, how to buy it, and I knew I only had $1,000, I didn't know what to do. So I went to a bank because banks have money. Right. That was my logic. I just go to a bank. So I went to the closest bank to my work. Right. Like it just, that was the process of evaluation for the banks for me. It's like, this one's by my office. I'll go in there. I literally took the physical contract and I said, hey, I'd like to speak to somebody about buying this property. They looked at it and they were like, well, this is an amazing deal. We could finance it for you. You're going to have to bring a 15% down payment. Do you have 15%? And I was like, yeah, for sure. I got it. Right.
Like, don't worry about it.
So, yeah. And so I then was able to leverage that network. So I went to those investors who I'd been seeing, you know, on a weekly basis, and said, hey, I've got this house under contract. How are you guys buying these things? How do I come up with the money for this down payment? Like, how does all this work? And one of my investor friends, who's now actually a business partner of mine, was just brainstorming ideas with me. And he came across this idea of a 401k loan, right? Where you can borrow against your 401k. So not cash out of it, but borrow against it. So you're paying it back with interest, but the interest is yours. It's to yourself. It's your money. And then your employer takes your payments out pre-tax. So it actually reduces your taxable income. So it has all these benefits. So essentially he was like, you can borrow against your 401k, use that money to close on the house, raise the rents to market rents, and then the cash flow pays back your loan to yourself with interest. And I was like, well, that sounds like a phenomenal idea. I just need to find a 401k now. So like
one step at a time. I love it. Right, you're running into obstacles and you're solving that problem when it comes.
Right.
To it.
Right. And so, I was like, let's do that. So I didn't have one because again, I wasn't saving anything. But my wife, who is much smarter than me, did have a 401k. And so I went to her and said, hey, remember that time I said we were going to be real estate investors? Well, we need to borrow $20,000 from your 401k for us to buy a house, right? Like, and she said, all right, let's do it. No hesitation. And I mean, between when she reached out to her employer and when we had the money, it was like, I don't know, a week or two. Like it was that quick. And I was like, all right. So then we bought the house, we raised the rents, and the cash flow paid back the loan plus a little extra for money in our pockets. And then I remember the bank called me and they said, hey, that was a really good deal and there's equity in it. And so, you know, we'd like to see if you want to take a loan on a line of credit on that equity so that you can use that to go bring us more deals like that. And I went, okay.
You want to give me money? All right.
And so, and then I did that process and I had access to like another $20,000+ to go do another deal. And so, you know, to go from a panic attack and 90 days later, having a property that's paying you cash, paying back the loan you used to buy the property, and you have access to $20,000 to go do it again. Like that was mind blowing for me.
Yep.
And I knew that I had found the thing that was going to change my life and my financial landscape forever. Right. So that was how I got into it.
I love that story for so many reasons. First of all, it is amazing how much money you can make and still be poor. You started out the story saying like you were making six figures, but you just didn't have any money in your bank account. Yeah. And that's how I started. I was in corporate. I worked here Seattle and the big corporates. And I was the same situation, making tons of money, but I didn't have anything to show for it. Right. And then after that, I mean, I feel like your story kind of is a good example of what everybody who just starting out needs to do. I mean, you said you had faith. You said yes before you knew the actual steps. Mm-hmm. You just knew this is what you needed to do. And as problems arose, you solved those problems when they arose, not before. You didn't worry about, you know, how you're going to do it. You just said, I'm going to do this. And then you solve the problems when they came up. You utilize your network. You're creative in the closing. You know, you use your 401k or your wife's 401k, which is super creative. It's good to have your network and your wife there. So I just love that story. That is a great introduction story. So you closed on that one property, that first, you know, rental in 90 days. And since then, that was what, about 3.5 years ago, or probably more at this point?
Yeah, it was about 5 years ago. Yep.
About 5 years ago. So since then, you've taken down 90 doors. So what was the catalyst once you had that first property under contract or closed? How did you get from there to scaling to the 90 that you're at today?
Yeah. The same method, one problem at a time. Right. So I knew I had access to some cash now to go do more deals. And the problem I now faced was two things. I realized very quickly that my original goals were too small because this was way more powerful than I thought. And I basically took Monopoly money and turned it into real money. And so I was like, all right, well, my original goals, I still have them. They were buy one house a year for the next 5 years was my original goals. We did five deals in our first month, right?
There you go.
And so I reevaluated my goals. And then the problem I then had was like, okay, if I want to do this again, how do I do it again? Because this deal fell in my lap, right? So my buddy heard, right? Like, I'm not going to find enough, hey, I heard you were buying houses deals in order to get to 90 doors, right? And so I started researching, like, who are the people in this industry that have great deal flow? Like, let's find who those people are and let's model what they do. And so everything was pointing me to wholesalers, right? Like, wholesalers are the deal finders, and then they sell those deals. And I was like, well, okay, I should create a business like a wholesaler, except I'll just keep everything. Right. And so that's what I did. I learned the methods of wholesaling, but not to wholesale, just to generate the deal flow, because I learned the two things that were going to stop me from scaling were deal flow and money flow. And I had figured out the money flow problem because that small bank reached out to me. And what I learned was that I was using commercial loans at local banks to buy these properties. That was, you know, that was the product that I used. And they were allowing me to use a line of credit as my down payment so I could keep rinsing and recycling that line of credit for my down payments. And then they, as I talked to more banks, built more of a portfolio, I was able to find a bank who basically lets me borrow at 75% of the value of the home. So as long as what I need to purchase and renovate the property falls under 75% of the value, then I don't have to bring anything, right? And so, that helped me solve the money problem. So if you can solve your deal flow and your money flow, you can scale as fast as you want to. There's nothing else really stopping you other than your ability to maintain that portfolio. And so that's what we did. I operated like a wholesaler. I started doing direct to seller marketing. And that started to generate lots of leads, which turned into lots of deals. And I would essentially keep the ones I liked the best and I would sell the rest. And we haven't ventured much from that method. Now it's more about we keep the multis and sell the singles is really the difference.
Nice, man. I love it. And I like that you guys kind of, you know, modeled yourself off of wholesalers, even though you do want to keep the properties, because really wholesaling is just, it's the front end of a real estate business. It's just bringing the leads to your business and trying to decide, you know, which ones are worth keeping and which ones are worth selling off. Yep. You did mention that you know, wholesaling was what you first mastered. And then you kind of threw in there the management aspect. So what are you guys doing to manage these properties? Are you managing them yourself or do you have third party property management?
Well, you know, I say wholesaling only to say that like we marketed like wholesalers, but we closed on everything. I mean, we still do. I'll tell people I'll buy anything that's a deal. I may not know what I'm going to do with it when I buy it, but if it's a deal, it's going to be mine. Right?
I'm mostly the same. I try to stay within certain asset classes now, but yeah, if it's a deal, I mean, how can you say no?
Right. Right. I'm sorry. What was your question? I totally spaced on you.
And you know what? So did I. It's all good. I just checked the time. We have gone through our 15 minutes, so I do have to push us on to the quick question round. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right. It starts with books. I'm a big bookie, so give me two book recommendations, one for general life wisdom, one for real estate specific.
Yeah, general wisdom. My favorite book is The Alchemist.
Love it.
I'm a emotional guy. Like, you know, I'm always in my feels. And so, you know, a book like that about, you know, the general gist is if you're living in your purpose and then the universe will conspire to help you. And boy, did it ever for me. Right. Like, and so I just like that reminder, especially when things are getting difficult, you know, and, you know, I as an entrepreneur and investor, but a lot of people starting out, they don't understand that there's no real secret sauce. Like, you know, the key is find good deals, buy good deals, monetize good deals, right? Like it doesn't matter what asset class, it doesn't matter. Like those are the steps, right? Like there's no, you know, some people will say, well, this marketing method is dead. Try this one. And that marketing method is dead. They all work. Like every marketing method works. Some just cost more than others and take more time. The thing that sets people apart is relentless consistency, no matter what the results are, right? Like, and when it's boring and you just spent 10 grand on a marketing campaign and got no deals, being able to turn around and do it the next month, right? Like, and I say that that's at scale, but you can, you know,
hopefully you get at least one deal from 10 grand in marketing.
But if you're starting out, right, say you spend 2 grand, right? Like, and you don't get a deal and you don't have a ton of money, like it's hard for that person to rationalize doing that again the next month. And again, a month after that.
That's something I definitely struggled with when I started was just the cost of marketing. I was like, I knew I could make the money, but damn, it's so expensive to put those mailers out there.
It's expensive. It's expensive. But the consistency gets you there. These things work, right? It's just a matter of time. Now, obviously, you need to fund them appropriately. So research enough about your strategy to know that you're funding it appropriately. If you're not funding it with enough money, you're throwing money down the drain. But if you're doing enough and it doesn't produce a result that month, you have to keep doing it again. And that gets hard. That gets hard for investors. And so being able to like get that reminder that you're doing the things you're supposed to be doing and the universe will conspire to help you. So that's a fun book for me. Application, practical application. Man, there's a ton of books that I like. Like if you're going to flip houses, I like Jay Scott's book.
where he literally, or no, that's a different guy.
No, he did a book. It might just be called Flip. I can't quite remember, but he literally breaks down like all the costs for all the different types of work that he was doing. Like he goes through actual flips and like breaks down all the numbers. And it's a lot of it's an inside look at all of the expenses that come with actually doing a flip, right? At the nitty gritty level. So like that was super helpful to see before having done one. So if you want to flip houses, that's a good one to check out. If you just want a general understanding of like real estate investment at its core, like how to do that, I liked Gary Keller's book, The Millionaire Real Estate Investor. It was a good overview of like, this is how to be a real estate investor. These are the people you will need on your team. These are how to find these people. Like just helps you kind of piece together those steps at a high level to give you more comfort in taking the next step.
Perfect. Great, great recommendations. Alchemist is actually one of my favorite books of all time. That is, I love that it's a story. I love the message. Yeah. Couldn't agree with you there more. Moving on, next question. This is for your younger self. So let's go back to the Henry who just got his job at Walmart. He was just starting as an analytics guy over there. Go back to him, look him in the eye, give him one piece of advice moving forward.
I don't like talking about this. The one piece of advice I would give Henry starting out. So when I started at Walmart, part of my compensation package was that they would buy $4,000 or $5,000 worth of Walmart stock in my name every year.
Oh, nice.
But I couldn't touch it for 3 years. And so it would accumulate for 3 years. And then after your third year with the company, you're allowed to start cashing out half of your stocks if you want for extra money. Again, no financial education. I cashed out of that stock every single chance I had. When I got to Walmart, the stock was like 30 some odd bucks a share, right? And if you do the math at how much stock I would have now at what that stock price is.
Oh man, I just checked. Even today when the market's down, it's at 134. Oof.
Yeah, man, 134. And they were just, $4,000 worth of stock at 30 some odd dollars a share compounded over time. Man, that was a lot of money. I can't remember. It's like opportunity cost, right? Of money that I would have had if I would have kept that, right?
We live and we learn, right?
Yeah. And so, and all that's to say, like, I know that's very specific to somebody who works at a company, but just save 10% of your income. Save it. Put it in a savings account. It's better there than being spent. Because at some point you'll wake up and realize I need to invest to get to where I need to go. And having that there when I wanted to get started and was smart enough about it would have gotten me there, a little quicker and wouldn't have been so challenging. I should have invested in my 401k and matched and got the free money, right? And I knew that. I just didn't see the value in it, right? But I realize now after as an investor now, like all those things were opportunities for me. And I think what I was caught up on was I could invest this money, but then my lifestyle would be different. But it's really not. We adjust, right? Like just put the money there and your lifestyle will be the same. We think it's gonna be drastically different. It's not. You'll figure out how to do what you want to do. So just put the money away. Don't look at it.
Nice. I'm going to summarize that and say, invest early in your financial education. Because once you do, you'll realize that 401k can definitely help you in the future.
It can help you.
And that moves us to the next question. This is for the US. It's a big place. There's a lot of opportunity out there, a lot of square miles to buy. So, what is one metro you're most excited about investing in today?
Other than my own?
You can call out your own. You can call out your own.
I invest where I live because I get both, right? I get equity and appreciation where I'm at. Not everybody gets both where they are. A market that I like, that I would look to invest in if my market wasn't so good, is probably Cleveland. Because the median home, lower median home prices, population growth year over year. The economy is strong because there's jobs in growing industries like the tech space, like healthcare. There's government jobs. There's great government jobs out there. There's the Cleveland Clinic's out there, so healthcare is always going to be there. And then lots of medical technology jobs. So things that are jobs that are industries of the future, also there. But at the same time, it's lower than the median, the average median home price across the U.S. And rents are fairly high for those prices. So you can cash flow and you can get some appreciation. You can get your foot in the door fairly inexpensively.
Perfect. Cleveland, that is a great metro for cash flow. Absolutely. Moves us to the next question. This is your Superman strength. We are all gifted with strengths that we uniquely give to the world. So what are you uniquely good at? What is your Superman strength?
My mom used to tell me I could make friends with a tree. I love people. I love people. I love talking to people. I love helping people, like genuinely helping people. I think early on in this business, I learned that this is not a real estate business. It's a people business that happens to transact in real estate. And when I stopped looking at deals as like, this is a deal I need to close, and started walking into houses and figuring out like, how can I be of service to the person sitting across from me, whether that means I buy the house or not. We started to do more deals. You know, we just care about people. And I think when you genuinely care about the person across from you, then the success follows, because none of this is for us. Like, this information about real estate is not for us. The wealth isn't for us. We get to reap the benefits of it while it exchanges through our hands. But the wealth and the information is for us to share. And if we're not sharing it, then it can and will be taken from you. So, pay attention to the very, very wealthy people who tell stories about how they lost their wealth. And you'll typically find the common denominator that they got so focused on accumulating and not focused enough on giving. For me, it's my superpower is my ability to connect with people and my willingness to want to help, regardless of if that means I'm going to transact with you or not.
All right. I love that. And that moves us to the second to last question. This kind of piggybacks on your answer that people are the core of real estate. None of us are islands. We all stand on the shoulders of giants. So who is one mentor who has contributed to your career, and how did they help you?
I'm going to go all the way back. For me, it's like, I wouldn't be here without my father. He was a high school art teacher for his career, and he always had a side hustle to make extra money because, you know, he liked to do nice things and liked to create a good life for my sister and I. And so, like, when I was a baby, he used to pot plants at home. Like, he's got a green thumb, so he would grow plants at home. He would then pot them and take them to the swap meet. I don't know if anybody knows what the swap meet is.
But yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you know, and he would take them to the swap meet and sell them at like a little booth at the swap meet to make extra money. He owned an arcade back when you used to have to go to a place to play video games.
Nice. I love that.
He had an arcade, which was basically like owning a space with a bunch of vending machines in it, right? Like, that's, so he had that. So I got to, you know, we had like old video games in our garage, and so like all the neighborhood kids would come over and like play video games in the garage. Then he owned a barbecue restaurant for most of my childhood. I was basically raised, like, my time after school and on the weekends was spent like hanging out in a barbecue restaurant. That's where I did my homework and things, right? And so all of that to say that, like, he never talked to me about entrepreneurship. Like, we never sat down and said, hey, so this is how you run a business, or this is how you start a business, or this is, you should have a side hustle. Like, for him, it was always go to college, get a degree, get a good job, you know, save for retirement, right? Like, that's what he wanted me to do. But he planted that entrepreneurship seed in me by me just being around him, seeing him. And so once I had that panic attack and I started Googling how to invest in, or how to, you know, how to become a real estate investor, and I saw that I needed to start this real estate investment business, I never thought I couldn't do it. Like, that never crossed my mind, because I saw my dad run businesses my whole life. So like, I inherently knew this could be done. And that's all because he exposed me and planted that seed years and years ago. And, you know, so I literally wouldn't be here without him.
All right. Well, shout out to Henry's dad. Thank you very much for helping Henry get to where he is today. And that leads us to the very last question. You've given us a lot of good advice, a lot of motivation. I'm sure people want to reach out, say hi. What is the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, Instagram's the best way, at the Henry Washington on Instagram. And then there's a link in my bio that has all the places you can go contact me, get stuff and things and free stuff and all that.
All right. And I will put that URL in the show notes. So if y'all want to reach out to Henry, just click the little more in the description. It'll pull down the full description. And in there, you can find the Instagram at the Henry Washington. Henry, that wraps it up. Thank you very much for hopping on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. This is lots of fun.
Absolutely. And for everybody who's here with us today, thank you guys for showing up. You are the reason we do this. So if you guys have any questions whatsoever, reach out to me, Gabe at the Real Estate Investing Club. .com. And if you'd like to show a little love, the best thing that you can do to support the show is just leave us a review on Apple. Other than that, I hope you guys have an absolutely fantastic day. Keep rocking real estate, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. All right, before I officially sign off, I have a quick announcement to make. If you're interested in becoming a passive investor in one of my deals, my own company, Kaizen Properties, is looking for capital partners for our upcoming projects. We invest in what are known as recession-resistant assets, mainly self-storage facilities, mobile home and RV parks, and industrial properties. If you're interested in investing and would like to learn a little bit more about my company, our investing criteria, and some of the previous projects we've done, go to the Real Estate Investing Club podcast at therealestateinvestingclub.com and scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page. Click on the Invest With Us button. That'll pop up the investor form. Fill that out and we will reach back out to you as soon as we can. Or if you prefer a little bit more of a personal touch, you can reach out to me at gabe@therealestateinvestingclub.com. So really, that is it. Again, it was a pleasure hanging out with you guys during this episode, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.